the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, helping individuals with low vision or blindness thrive in a sighted world. Here's the angle. March is Women's History Month, and, well, ABVI was founded by what, Linda Zizos? A woman.
You betcha. And not just any woman.
Yeah, let me introduce you formally. You, not just any woman, a good lady you are, Linda Zizos, Development Director with the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So we'll do some 101s. I hope Rick Stevens is as busy as ever.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Yeah, fellow lion and more. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do 101s. Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Where are you located?
We're located right on Cherry Street, 456 Cherry Street, corner of Cherry and College.
And why does this organization exist, in your words?
Well, we certainly are an amazing organization. We are the only low vision clinic and rehabilitation, vision rehabilitation organization in our area. We cover 13 counties, and we provide low vision clinic work. We provide one-on-one counseling to individuals living with blindness. We provide assistive technology for those living with low vision to help them be able to see maybe differently, but to feel better about living independently. And we really help people live with dignity.
I know we've had the roving microphone out and about. You do a lot with kids, don't you?
Yes, we do. In fact, we have a summer program we have for young adults who will learn certain skills, such as, you know, how to ride a bus, how to do your laundry, how to be a shopper, and what types of jobs are out there for individuals.
Thank you for that. How do we find out more information about ABVI?
Well, you can go to our website, ABVI. Michigan, excuse me, ABVIMichigan.org.
Nice. We'll do that at the end. But we do want to put the majority of our conversation, Linda, on your finding of ABVI and this Roberta Griffith. Tell me about her.
Well, first of all, I do have to give a huge amount of spiff to one of our wonderful social workers, yes, John McElroy.
He was just awarded a prize.
He was awarded the Visionary of the Year Award by the Grand Rapids Lions at their annual blind dinner date. And so we are really, really honored. And ABVI was a recipient also of some of the proceeds of that wonderful event. So Roberta Griffith, yes, was a visionary. She was fiercely an advocate for the blind and low vision. She was brilliant, and she was living with blindness for the majority of her life. She was born in 1867. Yes, and you know, back then, people who were living with blindness really were sort of kept away, not taken to school like everybody else. And in fact, some of our research does support that she was homeschooled until the age of 12.
She actually did go to special, want to use the word special, but unique schooling.
Yes, she did. Her mom was a single mom, Annie, sent her to the Michigan School for the Blind and then later on to the Ohio School for the Blind, where she was able to learn a great deal.
And university?
Well, the folks at the Ohio School for the Blind encouraged her to apply to the Women's College of Western Reserve University at that time, was known to be, and she did receive a scholarship. However, the college administrators were not totally sure that she could succeed. They told her she had to go through a probationary period to make sure that she could keep up with her studies and not be an interference to the other students. Also, there was no Braille textbook at the time, so Roberta had to purchase textbooks and hire readers to help her with her schooling. But you know what? She did okay for herself. She graduated in 3 years. So she showed everyone. She was very proficient. She supported herself by teaching piano to sighted students, and she used her own system of embossed music to read the notes for herself. And so that's how she helped to support herself. And after college, she, you'd be interested in this, she worked as a travel journalist, and she sold her stories to different publications, and she began working on a novel, and she also worked on a 6-volume dictionary for the blind.
And this was all before moving to Grand Rapids.
And during the time, yes. She did move to Grand Rapids shortly after college to be with her mom, who had located to Grand Rapids from Bay City, Michigan. And she designed a house for them using, again, her own embossing system, creating very sharp lines, and was able to have that house built.
And where are we now time-wise? I mean, if she was born in 1867, so
right.
We're still before 1900 here.
Yes, yes, right around 1900. Yeah. And so they moved into their wonderful home. It was in the shadows of the Belknap Water Reserve. And unfortunately, the walls of the reservoir were not very well made, and they collapsed, causing major flooding. They were right in the line of fire, so to speak, and their house was flooded and ruined. And she lost the manuscript she'd been working on, and she lost the volumes of the dictionary she had been working so hard on. So, but she persevered. She recreated the dictionary and moved on. She then spearheaded the American Association of Workers for the Blind, and that was very, very important to her because she knew that blindness does not stop you from achieving your goals. She was very proficient in many things, typing, sewing, music, and she knew that there were others who could be trained for certain skills of the day, and they could be hired by companies.
I want to bring in the Helen Keller. Did she meet? Did she work with Helen Keller?
She did. She worked with Helen Keller. At the time, the country did not have a standardized system of reading for the blind. Mm-hmm. And the Braille system was one of a few. So she and Helen worked very hard and were able to achieve the Louis Braille system to be standardized throughout the United States, which is what we use today. So she was a contemporary of Helen Keller.
Hey.
Yes, it's pretty amazing. She also worked with the Grand Rapids Public Library when their downtown library was being built. And advocated for and received what they called a study room for the blind. Now, so the books in Braille were quite large, as you can imagine, because they were in Braille. So they had to be carted down from another part of the library. But this was a room where people living with blindness or low vision could read and study and type and be part of what everybody else does at the library.
Well, Linda Zizo is with us, Development Director, Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, talking about the finding of this great organization under the leadership of Roberta Griffiths. So when did she discover ABVI?
Well, she established ABVI in 1913, 105 years ago, in her home. And she created, through her organization, a variety of training programs. She also promoted early testing in children to identify children with vision problems. She worked with the city and county schools to enhance learning experiences for visually impaired children. She, of course, continued with her strong advocacy of workers who were blind or living with low vision. And she herself experienced some issues with this when she applied for a job at a mercantile company. She was very proficient in sewing and crocheting, and that's what this position was. But she was not hired, and a friend had to actually intervene to have her be accepted and go on to this job. She was also asked once by a friend who was ill to help with some housework for a few days, and the woman's husband was very, very much against this, saying she couldn't possibly do that. And she said, well, you know what, I graduated college in 3 years. I think I can wash some dishes and do some dusting. So she had a uproad battle, as many people do still today, living with all sorts of impairments. So
when did we lose her?
Pardon?
When did she pass?
She passed away in 1941. And after leading the charge to legislate for mandatory use of nitrate of silver as an antiseptic in the eyes of infants that is used today, still saving the sight of many newborn children. So she was a fantastic woman, just a wonderful, strong woman who didn't know the word no. And she was inducted into the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame in 1993. So we're very proud of her.
So has your mission veered at all from her vision?
It has not. We help people living with low vision or blindness thrive in a sighted world. That was her vision, to be able to help people live full, independent lives with dignity. And she did that beautifully, and we've carried that on to this day.
Is that her picture you brought in?
I have brought a picture of Roberta. I have she is in my dreams. She is just an amazing woman. She's sort of my Shiro of the day. She would fit in very well, I think, in today's times, with strong advocacy for women and championing people for all causes. I think she would be a wonderful and wonderfully accepted.
You and yours continuing to support her finding, helping individuals living with low vision or blindness thrive in a sighted world. Only Low Vision and Vision Clinic and Vision Rehab Organization in our area, serving 13 counties. You're busy. Thanks, Linda Zizos. How do we find out more information?
Well, again, you can locate us at abvimichigan.org, or you could certainly call us at 616-458-1187.
Nice. Thanks.
Thank you so much.